Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last night, we had a celebration. You see, yesterday afternoon, two members of our congregation were wed. They were joined in the estate of holy matrimony at this altar. And so last night, it was only appropriate that we had a celebration celebrating that marriage that took place. When you hear today's message, just know that I am full of new wine. But wait, it's not the kind that you're thinking of. That was a problem with those gathered at the festival of Pentecost, as we heard last week. There were those that heard the apostles speaking to them in their own language, those from Macedonia and all the surrounding areas. And they couldn't understand how it was that these apostles, these Galileans, were speaking in their own native language. And so, of course, some of them took their first impression. They must be filled with new wine. Well, according to a comment from Cyril of Jerusalem, these scoffers weren't as far off as they sounded. Cyril wrote concerning the passage, "In truth, the wine was new, even the grace of the New Testament. But this new wine was from a spiritual vine, which had oftentimes before this borne fruit in prophets and had budded in the New Testament." Now, it seems to me that Cyril might have taken Luther's comments about putting the best construction on things a little farther than what Luther intended. But the point remains that they were speaking of the spiritual vine. They were speaking through the Holy Spirit as God had poured out on them at Pentecost. Peter guides them to the truth that it is because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that they are able to hear them proclaiming in their own language. He points them to the prophet Joel, who said, "In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So it is today that there are many who proclaim the truth of the gospel of Christ, whether it is Pentecost or any other time of the church year. But it is not about the messenger. It is about the message, as we'll hear from our text this morning from the second reading. For the men of Israel gathered around Peter and the apostles at Pentecost, their favorite patriarch was David. And there was good reason for this. Many of the prophecies concerning the Messiah, that is the one to come to be the Savior of the world, were spoken concerning the line of David. And so for a Jewish person at that time, he was just as important as Abraham, Isaac, Moses, or any of the others. They had a special place for David. He was very important to them. Yet to the men of Israel around Peter, it was unthinkable for a descendant to be viewed as greater than his predecessor. So Peter quotes David, "I saw the Lord always before me. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption." In this one quotation, Peter gains the attention of the ones gathered around him, like a pastor mentioning motorsports or talking about a particular commandment. The men of Israel all knew who David was and would immediately perk up their ears hearing these words. They liked hearing about David. Yet in the same quotation, Peter was already demonstrating that it was not David that was going to be the greater one, but his descendants. David, at this first part of this quote, is talking about his struggles in life. And if you've been in the Old Testament, you know about some of those struggles. His predecessor, King Saul, came after him to kill him, and in fact sent others after him to kill him. And David spent many years in hiding, as we hear in the Psalms, including this psalm. Yet throughout that time that he was fleeing, David trusted in his Lord and the Lord God for protection. He sought the Lord always before him. But the second half of that quotation is actually Jesus speaking through David, prophesying about the Messiah, the one to come, Jesus himself. He says concerning his own crucifixion and death, "You will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption." David had spoken prophetically about his descendants' hope for bodily resurrection. Peter used this verse to begin to show that even David realized his descendant would be greater than he himself. Today it's the same, only in reverse. Every pastor that speaks about Christ crucified knows that he is not as great as Christ crucified. The messenger is not as great as the one about whom the message is spoken. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Messiah to come. It's not about David. It's not about me. It's not about any other pastor. It's all about Jesus, the Messiah to come. So Peter continues, "Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." Now to the ears of those Jews gathered around at Pentecost, the men of Israel gathered, it would have raised some eyebrows. They did not think it was possible for a descendant to be greater than the father, the one to come before him. It was like speaking about a little child and saying that the little child is greater than his father. It just didn't make sense. It might be like if some of you have a particular favorite pastor, quote unquote favorite pastor, if you think of that pastor more highly than Jesus, you need to hear the same word. Jesus is more important than that pastor. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Messiah to come. David or pastors have no confidence in themselves to get out of the grave. They have no confidence in themselves that they will have their flesh restored of their own power. That is why they preach and teach and prophesy about Jesus, because he is greater. He is the one for whom the pangs of death could not hold down. He is the only one that that was the case for, because he was not only a son of man, but son of God. For this reason, the one about whom a preacher is preaching or used to preach, depending on whether that favorite pastor may or may not already be in his grave, Peter wrote that about David, that he was in his grave. And again, it would raise some of those Jewish persons' eyebrows. What do you mean Jesus is greater than David? I always thought David was supposed to be the great one. But yeah, you're right. David's in the ground and Jesus has ascended. How can that be? And so it would have got them thinking about that. Paul also mentions a little bit on this idea of having a favorite pastor or a favorite person from the Old Testament. You might remember he says to those in Corinth, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there be no division among you." What I mean is that each of you says, "I follow Paul," or "I follow Apollos," or "I follow Cephas," or "I follow Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And he continues that a little bit further in his letter to the Corinthians. "For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'Apollos,' are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." These same words apply to you if you have quarrels about which pastor is the best. It's not about the one who plants. It's not about the one who waters. It's about God who gives the growth. And he gives that growth through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord of us all. Again, just to make that point really clear, if you say that you follow Pastor Bruce or Pastor Josh or Luther, but not Christ, you might need to rethink who you follow. Was Luther crucified for you? Was Pastor Bruce crucified for you? Was Pastor Josh crucified for you? No. Jesus was the one crucified for you, crucified and risen. And it is in faith in him that you can have the assurance of not only getting out of the grave, but bodily getting out of the grave. Just as Jesus himself was raised in his flesh. Peter says concerning the Christ, our Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and receiving from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are now seeing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we have quarrels over which pastor is greater, we're missing the point. And more than that, we are sinning because we are creating jealousy and strife when there doesn't need to be. But Jesus took those sins, even those sins of jealousy and strife, and nailed them to the cross. He has taken away every sin that you have ever committed. And not only that, he has also been raised, and he has ascended into heaven and has sent you the Holy Spirit that you might believe in what he has done for you. And that way that you can have that assurance that you yourself will rise from the dead. You yourself can say along with Job, I will see my Lord with my own eyes. Because you yourself will have your body raised as well. That is why it is so foolish to consider this pastor or that pastor greater. It is all about Jesus, Christ crucified and risen for you. Jesus Christ is the fulfiller of all the Old Testament prophecies that David and others wrote concerning him. And he is the one that we preachers point back to. Because Jesus is the only one who could have done all of those things. He gives you that absolute certainty of life after death. In his name, and according to the will of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.